Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Joining us right now to break down the NFL weekend is our friend from CBSSports.com. You can read his latest work there as he breaks down the NFL, especially on Mondays following NFL Sundays. Also hear him, the daily NFL podcast for CBS, the Pick Six Pod, which is a great rundown every day of the league. Our friend, senior NFL writer, Will Brinson. Will, good morning.
Good morning, DA. What's going on, buddy?
Not much, brother. Thanks so much, as always, for joining us. And we start with the New England Patriots. What was more alarming, that the Patriots could get out-physicaled like that by the Titans, or that Tom Brady looked that ineffective?
You know, I would say the out-physical part, because I think you're looking at a team in the Titans. I mean, obviously, given their record and, you know, their proximity, I think they're seventh right now in terms of the seeding if the playoffs started right now. I mean, I think the most concerning thing is that they can, you know, they can actually out-physical the Patriots, and that's something the Patriots might have to worry about actually in the playoffs. And so that would be my bigger concern. I think that that was the Titans Super Bowl, though. So, I mean, Deion Lewis pointed out afterwards, if you're going to be cheap, you're going to get your rear end kicked, and posted a GIF of a Friday GIF of the guy smiling and driving away. So, I mean, it was pretty obvious how much that game meant to them. I wouldn't be surprised at all if we saw a letdown next week from the Titans. And I wouldn't be too worried about the Patriots either, at least in terms of Brady's performance and their ability to secure a bye or certainly win the division. They haven't played the Jets yet. They have, you know, the Bills on tap one more time and the Dolphins. I mean, they've got a bunch of wins waiting for them on the other side of the bye. And I feel like Brady should come out of that a little bit more rested. It is worth noting that, you know, this time last year, remember, Brady started to struggle a little bit, and it was not necessarily health-related, but we couldn't really figure out why, and maybe it's just a, you know, byproduct of being 40, and in November getting beat up by dudes who are 250 pounds.
Will Brinson, our guest this morning on the show. That's interesting that you bring up the bye. I think the Patriots are in a very, very delicate situation here with the bye. They've never gone to a Super Bowl, let alone won one, if they had to play wild card weekend. They always need the bye and home playoff games. Right now, the Chiefs are two games clear of the Patriots, and the Steelers are essentially tied at 6-2-1 because they have the head-to-head matchup coming up, and the Patriots are 7-3-1. The Texans also 6-3. We'll see how they finish. But, I mean, the Patriots are right there trying to fight for a bye. If they don't get a bye, couldn't that mean that the Patriots are an early exit in January?
Yeah, I mean, certainly they would not want to deal with playing on that wild card weekend, and it looks like, you know, I mean, you could end up with some, you know, fairly frisky teams in terms of who could make the playoffs. Like, you know, if you really break it down in terms of those wild cards, like who the 3 and 4 seeds might have to host, it could, you know, it's probably going to be an AFC South team hosting one, and then you know, either the Patriots or Steelers, it would look like, hosting the other. Although certainly New England has the tiebreaker on Kansas City, and Kansas City has to play the Rams. But, you know, you're probably looking at a situation where it's either Deshaun Watson and the Texans, or Marcus Mariota and the Titans, who you just played, or Phillip Rivers and the Chargers, who you definitely don't want to play on wild card weekend.
Right.
I mean, that's just, you know, how it's kind of shaking out. And certainly it could end up, you know, could end up being an AFC North team. The Bengals looked terrible yesterday, and they've given up, just fired their defensive coordinator like 20 minutes ago. And the Ravens are on a heck of a losing bender. That's just what it looks like right now. But those are some tough teams, and I don't think that's who you want to play on wild card weekend. You know, either Rivers and the Chargers, who have all that firepower, or a Titans team that has already beaten you once this year, although beating Belichick and Brady twice in a single season, not exactly something that happens very often.
What's wrong with the Eagles?
They look a little hungover, they can't really find their mojo, and I think part of it might be, I thought, and I think this bears out a little bit if you watch last night's game, is they don't have a physical run game this year. you know, last year they had LeGarrette Blount and Jay Ajayi down the stretch, and they could really pound on some teams. And this year they can't really do that. Missing Lane Johnson is a problem. You know, I think that defensively they're very thin in the secondary, and it didn't hurt that Ronald Darby went down and was knocked out. I mean, they were getting picked on by the Cowboys wide receivers, which is not the strongest group in the entire NFL. So I think, you know, you heard Chris Collinsworth point out, like, Jim Schwartz is just sort of, you know, taking a stab in the dark, trying to find something that works. And it really did feel like the Eagles defensively are thin from a personnel standpoint right now. And then offensively just don't have that same, they had this like magic third down conversion ability last year. And if they would get up on you at all, they would just pound the rock because they had that physical run game, that offensive line. It doesn't feel like they have that. It doesn't feel like they're going to get it this year either.
Impressive performance by the Cleveland Browns yesterday, getting a 28-16 win over what should have been a more desperate Falcons team. Do you think that the Browns will maybe have the cloud of Hugh Jackson lifted off of them and be much better under Greg Williams the second half of the season?
Yeah, I think, they would talk about in the Brown day. I mean, like Hugh Jackson and everybody in the Browns organization talk about how you have to change the culture and how you have to, change things and make people believe that they're winners again. Well, I mean, at a certain point, you just have to, and I don't disagree with that, but at a certain point, you just have to get rid of the guy who's done all the losing. And Hugh Jackson did all the losing, DA, and Greg Williams is one third of the way there towards matching his career win total with the Browns, which is impressive considering Greg Williams has only been there for 2 weeks. And I just think that this is a team full of young players.
Lost Will Brinson there from CBSSports.com, the Pick 6 podcast. We'll get him back up here on the show. I thought that was a very impressive effort by the Cleveland Browns yesterday. And for the Falcons, who were at 4-4 and started to play much better recently, that was a game they had to win if they wanted to make the playoffs. They now have 5 losses, and they've got no margin for error. They needed to win that game. Will is back with us, and Will, just finish off what you were saying about how the Browns look different under Greg Williams.
Sorry, I think my fat ear hit the mute button. I just think that at a certain point, you could talk about changing the culture all you want, but you've got to get rid of the guy who did the losing, right? And it just seems like, I don't know that Freddie Kitchens is some offensive genius, their new offensive coordinator, but certainly having him run the offense and, you know, Todd Haley and Hugh Jackson fighting, you know, internally over what the offense should be and how to run it is making an immediate difference. Baker Mayfield's not getting hit. He looks really sharp. They unleashed Baker Mayfield and Nick Chubb. What a novel concept. Putting your early round picks out on the field and letting them play and seeing how they look. I mean, it makes a lot of sense to me. And I don't know how much of that was ordered by, you know, Dorsey on high or whether it was Hugh Jackson's idea and he sort of did have to be the fall guy for this. But I mean, I think that playing the young guys, giving them the system that works for them and being aggressive and versatile and all the things that Hugh Jackson talked about after he got fired make a lot of sense. And it certainly seemed to work on Sunday.
Dirk Cutter takes over the play calling, and they only muster 3 points, even though the Buccaneers did rack up a lot of yardage. The New York Jets get blasted by the Bills 41-10. Todd Bowles, Dirk Cutter, do either one of those guys survive this season?
Oh, this season? I thought you were going to ask, like, today. Dirk Cutter doesn't have a prayer, I don't think. You know, he was on the hot seat coming in, sort of staved things off a little bit. He's already fired his defensive coordinator, longtime friend of his, Mike Smith. Had to take over play calls from Todd Monken. It just seems like this is inevitable now. They've changed quarterbacks more times. They've literally changed quarterbacks more times than the Redskins have changed leads in games. The Redskins haven't had a lead change in a game once yet this year, which is an impossible thing. And the Buccaneers have changed quarterbacks in games twice. I don't see how he survives. I wouldn't be surprised at all if it was this week, although maybe they play out the string. With Todd Bowles, I mean, I like Todd Bowles as a coach. I have, but he's having a rough go of it here. Sam Darnold didn't play well for a while, then got hurt. Now they get 41 hung on by the Buffalo Bills, and Matt Barkley, who had signed 12 days prior, that's a really bad look and they wouldn't talk about his job security, but they're going into a bye. I wouldn't be stunned if they made a move this week, although I could see Christopher Johnson, the Jets owner, wanting to be a little more patient and non-Woody Johnson-esque with it, and so he might wait. But I wouldn't, you know, if they wanted to shake things up there, it wouldn't be entirely surprising. And with the Browns having already fired a coach, you know there's good competition out there. So if you do want to move on, it does, you know, behoove you a little bit to maybe make the move now and go ahead and start looking at other candidates.
Will Brinson, CBSSports.com, senior NFL writer, host of the Pick 6 podcast. On that point, we have the report from our peer, our colleague, Jason Lockenfora, that the Ravens and John Harbaugh will part ways mutually at the end of the season. Is John Harbaugh, in your mind, the number one coaching candidate that's going to be out there?
He is right at the top of that list. I mean, you know, I think it's always interesting, D.A. It's just philosophical and, you know, it's risk management. But would you rather have John Harbaugh, who produced, you know, a Super Bowl victory in Baltimore and was, for a while, you know, perennial playoff entrant? Or would you rather, you know, gamble on somebody like Lincoln Riley, who's 35 and has a crazy offense and but has no experience at the NFL level? You know, I mean, if you're the Browns, it's so easy. If I'm John Dorsey, I'm looking at, I'm looking at the situation in Cleveland and saying, hey, look, John Harbaugh, you're not going to get fired, but you're going to get relieved of your duties in Baltimore. Last time I hooked up with Andy Reid in Kansas City, we made some magic happen with the new quarterback and all that. Why don't you come to Cleveland? You can spite play the Browns twice a year. You can build this Browns team. You know, you're a native guy. And so, I mean, yeah, I think John Harbaugh, given his, you know, the way that he runs an organization, as sort of, you know, former special teams coach who allows his offensive coordinators to be very hands-on, this would be a good spot to bring Harbaugh in and let him, you know, select an offensive coordinator who can develop Baker Mayfield, who can install a system that works for Baker Mayfield. To me, that would be a good fit, and certainly, if I was running a team, I would have John Harbaugh at the, you know, at the top of that list.
So would I. Will Brinson joins us here on the show. Quickly, do you think that the Packers could have a run at John Harbaugh? I mean, he's not an offensive guy, and maybe Aaron Rodgers wants that, but if they move away from Mike McCarthy, how about bringing in a guy that's already won a Super Bowl without Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, no, I think that would make a ton of, again, like it, the same fit works. Because, in fact, you know, last year on my podcast, Lockenfora made the suggestion that the Ravens and Packers should trade McCarthy and Harbaugh. And now, you know, it actually makes a ton of sense. Like, now McCarthy is probably, you know, maybe a little bit less desirable because of the offensive schemes he's been running. But I think in that situation in Green Bay, Harbaugh would make a lot of sense because you come in, he shores things up. The key is you want somebody like that who can hire an offensive guy without having to have his hands all over the playbook. You know, you want somebody with the experience that he has who can also say, all right, Aaron, you know, who do you want calling your plays? Let's go find a guy that you want to call your plays, an innovative young mind who can put you in a good position, and let's light this thing on fire. So, yeah, I think it would make a ton of sense in that regard.
Will Brinson, CBS Sports senior NFL writer. Listen to the Daily Pick 6 podcast, because there they're breaking down the NFL every single day with the CBS Sports gang, and they do an amazing job, the Pick 6 podcast. And read all of his latest coverage of the NFL and the week that just was at CBSSports.com. Always good to catch up, my man. Thanks so much.
Always fun, buddy. Have a great week.
You too. Will Brinson joining us this morning here on the DA Show.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.